Not one of the top federal technology officials testifying yesterday before the House lawmakers accepted the blame for the failings of healthcare.gov. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa says technology failures are like orphans. No one takes responsibility. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with details on a contentious hearing on the IT and procurement breakdowns that led to the healthcare.gov debacle. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So why did no one say, yeah, it was me?
Yeah, you wonder why that didn't happen. You think somebody would have stood up and with all the questioning from Congress and just said, okay, you know, it's all of us. It's but I'm the leader, right? But neither, you know, Federal Chief Information Officer Stephen Van Roeckel, Federal Chief Technology Officer Todd Park, Health and Human Services CIO Frank Bateman, or even CMS Deputy CIO Henry Chow said, hey, there was a lack of oversight. The accountability falls with me. And it's interesting because I think the goal here is not so much about blame, but who's in charge? Who is the button to push? Who's the belly button to push here? I mean, I think we've heard, you know, CMS Administrator Marilyn Tavner, HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, and even President Obama all take some sort of responsibility for the failings of healthcare.gov. But let's be honest, none of those three oversaw the vendors. None of those three made sure security testing was done. I mean, a lot of those software coding things falls to the job of the CIO. And let's be honest, when you talk about a large program, a major program, this also falls to the federal CIO. Committee Chairman Daryl Issa tries to get to the bottom of who is accountable in the end for healthcare.gov's IT problems.
Mr. Bateman, where were you, since you and Mr. Van Roeckel are critically part of this process, where were you? And Mr. Park was brought in afterwards. Where were you in the months and years leading up to this? Why is it that you were not aware that on day one, this product was going to fail to launch in any legitimate, acceptable way?
As I indicated in my opening testimony, HHS is a federated agency. The job for running...
Okay, not your job. This is an orphan. Mr. Van Roeckel, you came out of the private sector. Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer and a lot of other people at Microsoft would have had somebody's neck hung, maybe not literally and maybe not fired them, but they would want to know, demand to know. Steve Jobs, when he was alive over at Apple or in Next and all the other programs, they would have said, who the blank is responsible for this failure? Can you tell me today whose job it was to make sure that we didn't have this dreadful failure to launch that didn't call the one person that should have known and didn't do their job? One person. Who was that person?
As I said earlier, I wasn't close to the actual development or coding.
Okay,
I'm not in a position to make
Okay, so I had you, I had Mr. Park, Mr. Bateman, and Mr. Chow, but none of you today can tell who failed to do their job.
So ISA says OMB, HHS, CMS all failed to follow industry standards, best practices. In fact, he used an analogy for a car company, very interesting. He says at Toyota or Honda, it's everyone and anyone's responsibility to stop the assembly line if they see a problem with one car. ISA says in the case of healthcare.gov, no one spoke up about the site's problems. They all looked to their left and to their right.
Well, you know, in the case of Van Roeckel and Todd Park, I mean, they came in with all this idealistic ideas on crowdsourcing and innovation and all this. It's almost like their virginity is over now that they've run into a real honest-to-God problem like this. Should they have taken responsibility for the problems?
Well, you know, based on OMB's role, based on the fact that they were running these tech stat sessions that were supposed to look at problematic problems, a lot of the experts say, yeah, Van Roeckel and or Park and especially Bateman should have spoken up. They should have been in front. David Powner is the Government Accountability Office's Director of IT Management Issues. He says OMB put in place the IT dashboard to highlight, to shine light on major investments and to hold agencies accountable exactly for this reason. Powner says the IT dashboard most recently showed the healthcare.gov rating by its CIO as mostly green. He points out that, however, in March, the rating was red. So what happened between March and really September, you know, August timeframe? Now, beyond the IT dashboard, which GAO also has found to have some faulty data anyways, one former OMB official says she would have made her bosses aware of the problems. Karen Evans spent 6 years as the associate administrator for e-government and IT at OMB.
So in my analysis from the public record, as well as watching the testimony that happened prior, I believe that if I were in that position, that I would have elevated things through because that is this president's key legislation. It is his number one priority. And so that is what the chief information officer is supposed to do. They're supposed to analyze, as I said in my testimony, analyze what potential decisions are being made and what is that impact on the president's priorities to get done from a political perspective, from a communications perspective, from an oversight perspective of what the impact would be and how you would have to do congressional notification if you were changing things. And that would have been elevated up so that the OMB director would have known what the impact was happening so that the director could then talk to the president about potential opportunity.
Now, Evan says she would have taken a more hands-on approach on this type of priority was so important to her boss. She believes her job as the CIO was to inform the leadership up the chain about the decisions that were being made. Now, Richard Spires is a former DHS CIO. He also testified on the second panel yesterday along with Karen Evans. He says the right people were at the table in the earlier panel, but from what he could see, healthcare.gov lacked a few things, specifically proper governance and oversight.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So how are the problems with healthcare portal emblematic of the larger challenges in how agencies buy technology? This was something that was stressed by the president himself about the buying end of it.
Right. And I think you're absolutely right in the fact that healthcare.gov now joins a long list of failed federal IT projects. We could go through our own history together, Tom, right?
I still have the notes.
FBI's virtual case file, Homeland Security's financial modernization projects, Emerge and Task, DOD's dimers, even the Census Bureau's handheld devices from the 2010 census.
And my favorite one is IRS modernization,
which is
in place now, but it took a long time.
And Richard Spires was one of the main people who got that in place. So the irony is a little thick here. Somebody who has dealt with a major, major program that was in not doing well, and here he is testifying. Actually, I was talking with one expert in the community just recently, and they said, you know, it's been a few years since we've heard a big failure for a federal IT project. You know, if you think about the last one, it's probably the handheld devices from the Census Bureau. So that was almost three or four years ago. And I think that signifies that agencies are improving their program and project management skills. But when something is so politically charged and so complex, and something like healthcare.gov, it seems to be that these old habits just die hard. GAO's Pounder says there's 7 best practices that complex IT projects should follow when they're to be successful. This includes accountability, transparency, oversight, expertise, and program management. But he says too often when federal IT projects do fail, many of these best practices aren't used.
Key IT executives need to be accountable with appropriate business leaders responsible for the project. This needs to start with department CIOs, and for projects of national importance includes the president's CIO. At HHS, CIO authority is an issue GAO reported on just last week. Both OMB, department, and agency oversight and governance are important so executives are aware of project risks and assure that they are effectively mitigated. We have issued reports on OMB and agency tech stat sessions highlighting the importance of these meetings and their excellent results, primarily halting, rescoping, and redirecting troubled projects. We have also recommended that more tech stats need to occur on troubled and risky projects. We are not aware that healthcare.gov was subject to a tech stat review.
And I think that's key there. The key oversight mechanism that this administration brought in, TechStat, it's unclear whether healthcare.gov went through one of those sessions. And I think that shows that lack of attention being paid maybe by OMB, maybe by the HHS CIO, maybe by CMS. It's unclear. And I think that's what this hearing partly is trying to get to. Now, going back to GAO's Pounder, he says there's a number of key questions that should be asked of any IT acquisition to make sure there's appropriate accountability, transparency, program management. These include what role is OMB playing and how involved is the federal CIO? Is the agency CIO accountable and are actively involved in managing risk? Is the IT dashboard data accurate? And is OMB and agency governance appropriate, including tech stats and the follow-ups after tech stat sessions? But it seems these best practices weren't followed. Van Roekel and Park repeatedly told the committee that they only got involved later in the process. But records show both Van Roekel, Park, as well as CMS's Henry Chow, all attended meetings at the White House. But they were saying, we weren't there as technology overseers. Or Chow says, I was only there to give a short briefing on a specific part of healthcare.gov. I mean, listen to this exchange between Congressman Trey Gowdy and Park. It demonstrates the holes in the oversight process.
Because you are the smartest one in the room.
I'm not, sir.
And very good at what you do. Where in the heck were you for the first 184 weeks If you're being asked to fix this after October the 1st, in a couple of weeks, where were you for the first 184 after the so-called Affordable Care Act passed? Where did they have you hidden?
So, sir, in my role at the White House as USCTO in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, I'm a technology and innovation policy advisor, so I have a broad portfolio of responsibilities.
But you're obviously good enough that they brought you in to fix what was broken. It's been called a train wreck. That's not fair to train wrecks. It's been called other things. They brought you in to fix it. Why didn't they bring you in to start it? Why didn't they bring you in to build it?
So why
are you doing a reclamation project? Why didn't you build it?
I'm part of an all-hands-on-deck effort that's been mobilized across the administration to actually help under Jeff Zients' leadership. And in the lead-up to October 1, wasn't part of my role.
Now, as we've reported, Congressman Issa and Congressman Jerry Connolly have co-authored the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, which actually passed the House as part of the National Defense Authorization Bill earlier this summer. And I think the bill will try to fix many of what the problems are, these longstanding problems that appear when healthcare.gov and other projects fail. Issa was clear, however. He said, hey, this hearing today was not to sell IT reform. He says, we got to figure out what happened to more than $600 million and why there were so many problems with healthcare.gov.
Well, you can almost imagine the way this could have gone because, as Richard Spires pointed out, the governance issue, you know, maybe Van Roekel would want to march in and take over, but, you know, these white corpuscles at the department level would probably surround and push him out. I mean, that's how it works in these bureaucracies. You almost feel bad for these guys in some sense. So what's the status of healthcare.gov now? I mean, did you get a sense from the hearing whether it's going to make that November 30th deadline? Because they sure have promised that pretty hard.
They have, and that came out several times during the hearing yesterday. But both Todd Park and Henry Chow say both progress is real, but whether or not they make that November 30th deadline is unclear. Nobody would commit that says, yes, we will make it. It was a lot of, we're doing the best we can, we're working hard. Park says there is a lot of work to do, and the team is dedicated and working as quickly as possible.
Average system response time, which is the time it takes, say, a page to render or a request to be fulfilled of a user, was 8 seconds on average a few weeks ago. It's now under a second. Another measure is the system error rate, which is the rate at which you experience errors in the marketplace application, and that was over 6% a few weeks ago. Now it's actually about 1%. And actually getting lower than that. So really good progress. Still much, much work to do, but there's a system and a pattern of attack in place around monitoring, production stability work, functional bug fixing.
Now, the biggest unanswered question from the hearing yesterday was about the portal's cybersecurity. There just seems to be so many different accounts about what's going on with the system testing, how big of a risk do users face with their personal information. And most of the hearing actually went back and forth over the issuance of the authority to operate by CMS and the memo from Henry Chow and others. But the problem is it's the Democrats are saying one thing, the Republicans are saying the other, and the people in the government, specifically Henry Chow and Frank Bateman, were kind of caught in the middle trying to say, well, this is not what you're not reading it right, or that's not the case, or you know, the memos you have don't explain the whole thing. And I think that was probably one of the most, when you walked away from it, you kind of that left your head scratching the most. There was a separate hearing yesterday as well. The House Homeland Security Committee did hold a hearing on the cyber risks facing healthcare.gov. But and DHS reported they testified along with, I think, GAO, and they found that HHS notified them of 16 potential security risks and one unsuccessful denial of service attack against the healthcare.gov site.
All right, there's a lot of running room left on this story. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
My pleasure.
We'll post this interview later this morning at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. You can also read Jason's full story posted there, too.